27th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. And we will commence to read, please, at verse number 57. Matthew 27 and verse 57. When the even was come, there came a rich man of Arimathea, named Joseph, who also himself was Jesus' disciple. He went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be delivered. And when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out in the rock. And he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulchre and departed. We look to God to bless his precious word. I want to speak to you this evening on a lovely character in the Gospels, and perhaps a character that is generally overlooked. He was a very important man, really. A man that was available at the right time. A man who was ready. A man who was on the spot. A man through whom the wonderful purposes of God were furthered, and even the scriptures were fulfilled. He's a remarkable character. I refer to Joseph of Arimathea. So I want to speak to you this evening on Joseph of Arimathea. I would suggest to you that Joseph of Arimathea is pictured for us in the clean man in connection with the removal of the ashes of the red heifer in Numbers chapter 19. You might remember, in connection with the ritualistic law and details of that passage, that the ashes were to be removed of the heifer by a clean man. And it's, as it were, a clean man, not a sinless man, but a fit man, a good man, namely Joseph of Arimathea, that handles reverently the body of our Lord Jesus Christ and lays it in his own rock-hewn tomb. So that Joseph of Arimathea is pictured for us, I feel, in Numbers 19. But also, Joseph of Arimathea is prophesied of in Isaiah 53. Joseph of Arimathea is one of the few men in the New Testament that can claim to be mentioned and referred to in the Old Testament scriptures. And that's interesting. And of course, in the wonderful prophecy of Isaiah 53, as far as the scheme and intention and plan of men were concerned, they had every intention to put the body of the Lord Jesus Christ in a common grave with the thieves, with the wicked. But Isaiah 53 reminds us, in wonderful anticipation of the ministry and work of Joseph of Arimathea, he was with the rich man, singular, the rich man in his death. And so that Joseph of Arimathea is mentioned prophetically in Isaiah 53. So we have him pictured in Numbers 19. We have him prophesied in Isaiah 53. But in the Gospels, in Matthew, Mark and Luke and John, we have him portrayed in a most delightful way. I want to bring before you Joseph of Arimathea in the Gospel records. First of all, in the Gospel of Matthew, I want us to think tonight of the cost of service. The cost of service. I feel that in Matthew's presentation of Joseph of Arimathea, undoubtedly he would highlight for us what it cost Joseph of Arimathea to serve on this momentous, critical occasion of the burial of the Lord Jesus Christ. The cost of service is in view in Matthew 27. But when we come to the parallel record in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 15, it is more the courage of service there. Because Mark tells us that Joseph of Arimathea went in boldly unto Pilate. And mind you, it took a great deal of courage to do that, and to go in alone and beg the body of this despised, rejected Nazarene who was so unwanted and put to open shame and crucified on the cross. Took a good deal of courage then for Joseph of Arimathea to do that. In coming to the Gospel of Luke, we have a little different aspect, don't we? For in the Gospel of Luke, it's not there so much the cost of service and the courage of service, but it is the character of service. You're beginning to realize now, as we begin our meditation and message on Joseph of Arimathea, that we are looking at lessons. Lessons from the character and the life and what little information we have of Joseph of Arimathea. Lessons for divine service today. Lessons as to how we should serve the Lord. Features that are very, very important as far as our work for the Lord is concerned today. And so in Luke, it is more the character of service. Because we are told there, and Matthew doesn't mention this, and Mark doesn't mention this, but it is Luke that delightfully tells us he was a good man and a just. So the character of Joseph of Arimathea is more in view in Luke's presentation in Luke 23. But coming to the fourth gospel, the Gospel of John, and looking at how he presents the record concerning Joseph of Arimathea and what he did. It's not there the cost of service, or the courage of service so much, or indeed the character of service, but it is the companionship in service. For John tells us that on this very important occasion, he had a companion, namely Nicodemus. And Nicodemus joined forces with Joseph of Arimathea, and together they took down the holy body of our Lord Jesus from the tree. And, you know, Joseph of Arimathea couldn't well have done that, could he? And he certainly would have appreciated on this occasion the help, the cooperation of Nicodemus. And so it's two men that are in view in John 19 who are companions in service. It is Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus together that take down the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. Brethren and sisters, as we look at the distinctive records of Matthew and Mark and Luke and John, is it not delightful to see these distinct touches, to see these lovely differences? Even when it comes to the record of this character, Joseph of Arimathea. The cost of service in Matthew. The courage of service in Mark. The character of service in Luke. And the companionship of service in John. Let's look a little closer at this, beloved. And let's feel the challenge of the Word of God tonight. As we examine the character of Joseph of Arimathea, and as we see the important role that he filled, and how much really rested and depended upon what he did, It's remarkable. So that in Matthew 27, we have the cost of service. We are distinctly told in that verse that we read, verse number 60, he laid it, that is, he laid the body in his own new tomb. It was his property. The tomb was something, obviously, that he had prepared for himself. But he gave it up for Christ. You can see, as far as money was concerned, as far as time was concerned, as far as effort was concerned, he was most willing to surrender everything to the Lord Jesus Christ. Surely, Joseph of Arimathea, dear fellow believer tonight, he proved his love for the Lord Jesus Christ. And he gave to the Lord Jesus Christ something that he needed. Something that was going to fulfill the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 53. Something that would upset the plans and ideas and schemes of men. God, because of the moral beauty and integrity and perfection of the character of the Lord Jesus, because he had done no violence, neither was guile found in his mouth, saw to it, in his wonderful control and overruling, even after the crucifixion, that there was a man on hand, prepared and fitted of himself, Joseph of Arimathea, to take down the body and fulfill Isaiah 53 to the very letter and put it in his own new tomb. Yes, let's not miss this. It certainly did cost Joseph of Arimathea something to do this. We have no doubt about that. Indeed, it is only Matthew, and he's the tax gatherer, and he's the more about money than any other of the gospels. He was a rich man. Very seldom does a rich man go out begging. And yet here is a man, a rich man, Joseph of Arimathea. He goes into Pilate, and the Bible tells us in the passage here, he begged the body of the Lord Jesus. He proved his love for Christ, you see. You know, my brother, my sister, it was hatred that put the seal on the tomb. But it was love in the heart of Joseph of Arimathea that reverently laid that holy body in his own new tomb. It cost him a lot. It cost him quite a bit. But happily, willingly, spontaneously, in love for Christ, no matter what the cost, he was prepared to give this tomb up, even though he had prepared it for himself, and likely previously had every intention of being buried there. But he gave it up for Christ. How wonderful! He gave this tomb that likely he had hewn in the rock himself for the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I want to say this tonight, that Joseph's gift was only needed for a little while. Just a little while. Thank God, only for 3 days. But notice, it was a gift from Joseph, was this tomb, that was used there and then, and was never used again. The Bible distinctly tells us that the tomb in which our Lord Jesus was placed was a tomb in which never man had lain. It was reserved exclusively for the holy, uncorrupted, sinless body of our Lord Jesus Christ. So the tomb, the gift of Joseph, was only needed for a little while, and it would be never needed again. I want to say something to you about the cost of service, dear child of God. There are things we can do for the Lord Jesus in the service of God that we can only do at certain times. There are things that we can give to the Lord Jesus Christ that really He'll never be able to use again. And this indeed is very, very important, and at the same time very, very challenging. There is something that you can give to the Lord. It may not necessarily be money. It may be your time. It may be your exercise. It may be your effort. And I want to get this into your soul tonight, that if Christianity is worth anything, it is worth realizing there is a cost. And if your service for the Lord and all that you do for the Lord doesn't mean on your part any little sacrifice or facing a cost or doing a little bit more or going the second mile, Christianity is not worth anything, and you don't really, truly love the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the challenge of the Word of God tonight. What are we doing for Christ? What sacrifices are we making for Christ? What are we giving for Christ? There's something that you and I can do for the Lord Jesus Christ in His rejection now that we'll not be able to do perhaps even next week or next month. The Lord desires something from you now. It may be your time. It may be the other gifts. Something you can render to the Lord. Joseph was available. The sad thing is today that so many Christians are not available. They're not available for the Lord. They miss out. They draw back. They go into a corner. They feel it's not their responsibility. Somebody else will do it. Somebody else will push themselves. Will pay the price. Will visit so-and-so and do this and do that. But not me. Beloved, I want to say again, there are things we can do for the Lord and give to Him that He only needs for a little time. And many of us are missing the opportunity to serve the Lord and do something for Him now, even though it might be a cost. Are we prepared, like Joseph of Arimathea, out of love for Christ, to give our time, to give our gifts, to give our effort, to do a little something for Him? Even showing a little kindness to the Lord's people. What a lack that is among the Lord's people. You know, post-mortem kindness never did anyone any good. Leave not your kisses for my cold brow, for life is lonely and I need them now, now, now. If Mary of Bethany had not done what she did in John 12 in adoration and worship to the Lord Jesus, she would never have been able to recapture that moment. She would have lost that privilege and opportunity of worship, wouldn't she? Yeah. Anointing the feet of the Lord Jesus, drying them with her long hair. No wonder the Lord Jesus said, "The poor you have always with you, but me you have not always." What does he mean? Mary had the spiritual intelligence enough to realize the Lord was going to die and suffer. She had more spiritual apprehension of this and the pathway of the Lord Jesus than all the rest of the disciples, the apostolic band, the 12 of them, put together. And that alabaster box that she had kept for so long, so costly to her, she broke it and opened it and poured it upon the feet of the Lord Jesus. She did what she could. when she could. Because she could do for the Lord Jesus in rejection what she could never do for the Lord Jesus in glory. May that be burned into our souls tonight. If Joseph of Arimathea had missed the opportunity, if he hadn't been available, if he hadn't been so ready and hadn't been willing to do what he did, oh, can you not see so much depended upon what he did? If he hadn't done what he hadn't, if he hadn't done what he did, why, the integrity of the Word of God and the whole of prophecy would have been in doubt. And the wonderful program of God in the burial and resurrection of Christ and what was to follow would have indeed been seriously interrupted. Do you understand tonight that so much depends upon little things we do in our Christian life? So much depends. You might think it's behind the scenes. You might think it's costing you a little bit too much, involving too much of your time. Are we Christians tonight? Do we love Christ tonight? Do we understand that this is the time of Christ's rejection? And that we're serving Him now, in this the time of His reproach? And we can do things for the Lord, and the Lord can use things from us now, things that we give Him. He may only need them for a little while. It may be only for a temporary, of a temporary nature, just like the tomb of Joseph that was surrendered. It was only needed for a little while. It would seem that Joseph of Arimathea was prepared to honor the Lord Jesus Christ even more than the disciples who had forsaken him. He showed more love to the Lord Jesus Christ on this occasion than the 12 disciples. I ask again, child of God, what is the service of the Lord individually costing us tonight? Are we moving through life with no exercise? With no burden, with no prayer to the Lord, what can I do? The old hymn is true, you know. There's a work for Jesus only you can do, that I can't do, and somebody else can't do, that you are fitted for, and the Lord wants you to do, but you're not prepared to do it. You're not prepared to make a little sacrifice. You're not prepared to get down to things and face the cost. Isn't the Lord Jesus Christ worthy of everything we give Him? Does He not deserve our consecrated service? And this the day of His rejection? Aren't there things we can do for Him now that we'll never be able to do in glory? Certainly. And yet the opportunities are passing by. And maybe I'm speaking to someone tonight and the Lord has been speaking to you to do something and you've never done it. You've dismissed it. Another time, perhaps. Or maybe you've even said, not me. That, in effect, was what Moses said, you know, when God was dealing with him and preparing him for the future deliverance of Israel and for him to be their leader. In effect, when God was dealing with him, at the start he said, not me. And Jonah, when God was dealing with him and wanted him to go to Nineveh, in effect, he said, not there. All too often believers really, in effect, are saying to the Lord Jesus, when He demands our service and our sacrifice and our time and the little we can do for Him, we're really saying, not me, not there, not now. Isn't that so? Shame upon us. The cost of service. But then I thought in Mark's Gospel concerning this lovely character, Joseph of Arimathea. It's the courage, isn't it? The courage of service. It is Mark that brings in this touch. It is Mark in his record that only tells us of the boldness of Joseph of Arimathea. Such courage is assumed, of course, in Matthew 27 and in the other parallel portions in Luke and in John, but in a particular way in the Gospel of the Servant, in the Gospel of Service, Mark highlights the courage of this man. He went in boldly to crave for the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And how remarkable. He did it alone. Beloved, what about us? More than ever, there's a great need of courage in the Lord's things and in the Lord's service today. Not a boldness that is rude, please, or forward, or a boldness that is of the flesh, but spiritual backbone and spiritual courage to be openly identified with Christ in this the time of his rejection, to stand for God, to nail our colors to the mast. Do not forget the word of Paul to Timothy, be not ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner. Ashamed of Jesus can it be? A mortal man ashamed of thee whom angels praise, whose glory lasts through everlasting days. How can we ever be ashamed of the one that has suffered for us and bought us with his precious blood and has risen again and cares for us and is unchanging in his love toward us and is going yet to do great things for us? How can we ever be ashamed of him of whom it is written, he was not ashamed to call us brethren? Young believer, are you ashamed of Christ at school? I say, dear saint of God, does the element of human fear grip you in the office? Listen. Courage is not fear absent. It is fear conquered. The devil very often uses the element of human shame and fear. Works on that. Give me a brother or sister with heavenly wisdom who has courage and conviction and confidence in his God and is prepared to be bold and to be identified with the Lord Jesus Christ. There's plenty of wishbones in the assembly, you know. They're always wishing this and wishing this, wishing things are going to get better. Wish brother so-and-so would change his ways and wish we could do this and wishing. And of course, often, those who wish like that never do anything themselves. Now, the assembly doesn't want wishbones. Brothers and sisters, strong ankle bones, yes. And backbones, certainly. Oh, this is the crying need of the day. Courage. You know, I want to draw attention to something which is very interesting in the record of Matthew, rather in Mark, different to Matthew. There's the cost of service and here's the courage of service. In Mark 15 and verse 43 and verse 45, we have two different words for the body of the Savior. When Joseph of Arimathea went into Pilate boldly and craved the body of the Lord Jesus. It's a different word from verse 45. When it then Pilate, we read, gave the body. The word there is the corpse. As far as Pilate was concerned, a typical man of the world, the body of the Lord Jesus having been crucified, was just a dead corpse, corrupting. But it was far different to Joseph of Arimathea. It was the holy, uncorrupted body of the Lord Jesus. It's a different word there. The attitude of Pilate stands indeed for the attitude of the world. As far as the world is concerned, likely still, the Lord Jesus is an ordinary man. He's dead and that's the end. His body has decomposed. But thank God, as far as the Christian is concerned, who is based upon the Word of God, he knows that that body could see no corruption. And he views with great reverence and very high regard and devotion the holy body of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's Mark, isn't it, that tells us in Mark 15 that really Pilate was so amazed that Jesus was dead already. That's interesting. So much so, he had to ascertain the facts and ask, has this criminal, as far as he was concerned, this Jesus really died? He was amazed, he marveled, why? Normally, the unfortunate victims who died that terrible form of punishment of Roman crucifixion on the cross could hang there for 2 and sometimes 3 days. Exposed to the sun and the gaze of others. But you see, our Lord Jesus Christ had dismissed his spirit. Young believer, understand tonight that the Lord Jesus didn't die by appearance. He really did die. His death is a fact. When Pilate had got the fact beyond all shadow of doubt that Christ had died, he then felt free in his mind to give up to this strange individual, this man, Joseph of Arimathea, the corpse, as far as he was concerned, of the Lord Jesus Christ. The cost of service, the courage of service, or about Luke, the character of service. We are told in the Gospels, aren't we, that he was one who waited for the kingdom of God. He was waiting for the Messiah to come, set up his kingdom, and deliver the nation from the Roman thraldom, from the foreign power of the might of the Roman Empire. Waiting for the kingdom of God in that sense. Beloved, it's the same word in Titus 2, you know. How about it tonight? Are we looking for the blessed hope and appearing in glory of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us or deliver us from all lawlessness, that we might be a purified people unto good works? Are we waiting for the blessed hope and appearing in glory of the Lord Jesus? How should we wait?
Aye, it would be good if we could wait like Joseph of Arimathea and be prepared, no matter what the cost, to be available and ready to serve the Lord. It would be good, like Joseph of Arimathea, to have a little courage, the courage of our convictions, and to be openly identified with the Lord Jesus Christ. But what about Luke 23 then? The character of service.
Yes, we said, it tells us there, he was a good man and a just. Now Matthew doesn't say that, and Mark doesn't say that, and John doesn't say that. See, young people this evening, good to see you. The lovely differences, not contradictory. The lovely differences in the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark and Luke and John, all underlining for us the inspiration of the Gospel. It's written by divine hand. We wouldn't write it like that. These beautiful distinctions brought in by the different four gospel writers, so fitting to their themes, so suitable.
And it's only Luke that tells us that Joseph of Arimathea was a good man and just. tells us too that the same had not consented to the counsel and deeds of them, the religious leaders. He stood apart from that. He didn't accept their verdict. And while John tells us he was a disciple, a secret disciple, if you like to call him, for fear of the Jews, yet there came the time when his love for Christ was manifest, and when he showed courage, and when he was prepared to honor the Lord Jesus Christ. He was a good man, and he was a just. Tell me, like Joseph of Arimathea, have you turned your back upon the decision of the world and what they think of Christ? Are you not even prepared to tell them that you are a believer? And where you go? Are you too ashamed to own up to that? To nail your colours to the mast? Have you turned your back upon the world? You know, this is baptism, isn't it?
The same had not consented to the counsel and deeds of them. He turned his back upon the decisions of these men. He loved Christ. You live in a baptized life in separation from the world. How can you dabble with and be identified in the things of the world, dear fellow believer, that are still stained with the blood of Christ, and doesn't want him, and has no time for him? Is the world a wilderness wide to you? Are you living a life, please, tonight? Let's all feel the challenge of the Word of God true to your baptism. Or is it possible the way that you're living since you were baptized a year or 5 years ago or more is thoroughly inconsistent with the significance of your baptism, your profession to have died with Christ and to be dead to the world? If we would serve the Lord effectively, we'll need to be a man like Joseph of Arimathea. The character of service. He was a good man and just. Let's face this, beloved. If we are not clean in our thoughts and clean in our ways, remember that word in Isaiah, be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Lord. There needs to be personal fitness. There are indeed high demands as far as God is concerned in the service of the Lord today. We can't engage in it in any old manner. We can't just do what we like and live as we like and come to meetings and expect, you know, if we've dabbled in the things of the world and the defilement of the world is rubbed off on us, to rise to the occasion and serve the Lord effectively. It can't be done. Can't be done. We have got to be clean. We have got to know what it means to be good by the indwelling power of the Spirit of God. And just. You marked by practical righteousness, are you? I hope so. Oh, I hope so. This one reason why the service of the Lord is not as effective as it should be. Because the necessary prerequisite moral demands and conditions are not being met by us. We are not prepared to face not only the cost of service, but even the character that the Lord requires. Joseph of Arimathea was a good man and a just. Well, I love to read, to have read years ago of a man, you know, well-known preacher of the word. And he said, you know, when I was a young boy at home, sometimes I used to like to be helpful to my mother. Every young boy and girl should be helpful. And you know, he said, I used to shout through to my mother as she was preparing the meal table, Mother, can I put the bread on the table? Isn't that good? Invariably back came the reply, Yes, son, if your hands are clean. says, I always remember the words of my mother when I serve the Lord and preach the gospel and teach the word of God and stand before the Lord's people. Son, are your hands clean? What's the good of trying to serve the Lord together with others in the assembly, in the work of the Lord, and to desire blessing? If there's some extraneity in my life, if there is some secret sin I'm indulging in, if there's a spirit of bitterness that I'm harboring towards my fellow believer, it won't work. No, it won't work. Beloved, we've got to be clean vessels. Oh, if ever there was a good man and a fit man, a man I believe that must have been morally clean, it was Joseph of Arimathea. See, God wouldn't have used an unclean man. God would never have used this remarkable character, Joseph of Arimathea, for such an important, critical, momentous ministry upon which so much depended, if he hadn't been morally fit, you see. Will we face the challenge of this? The character required in service. Yes. Luke, the gospel of the manhood, the gospel of the manhood of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the gospel of humanity, it is he that tells us he was a good man and a just. How about a child of God tonight? Elder in the assembly, preacher in the open air, minister of the word, tract distributor, whatever. In connection with the work of the assembly. Have we faced the challenge of this? What are we conditionally? Are we a clean vessel? Are we concerned about our character, cultivating Christian spiritual character? It's so important. Has been said, it's not what men think you are, it's what you are, and truly what you are in the sight of God. This is character. The cost of service, the courage of service, the character of service. Let me say a word to you about the companionship in service. It's lovely to see that this is what John brings in his gospel. He touches on things differently. His comments are a little different to Matthew and Mark and Luke, not contradictory. All contributing to the scene, to the full story of all that Joseph of Arimathea did. Wasn't it well that Joseph of Arimathea had a companion on this occasion, Nicodemus? Nicodemus is found three times in the Gospel of John, isn't he? Shall we say in John 3 you have his conversion, his new birth? In John 7 you have his confession. He defended the Lord Jesus Christ and said, doth our law condemn a man before it hear him? Spoke up for Christ. Do you speak up for Christ? His conversion in chapter 3, his confession in chapter 7, but oh, in chapter 19, along with Joseph of Arimathea, we have his consecration. I love to think, you know, beloved, that in John 3, the first time the Lord Jesus met Nicodemus at night and spoke to him of new birth, and he told him how he could be born again, didn't he? What did he tell him? As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. How wonderful. Oh, the Lord Jesus spoke to Nicodemus about the necessity of him being lifted up on the cross, lifted up. And he's the very man, along with Joseph of Arimathea in John 19, that takes down that one that was lifted up from the cross. Did the soldiers take the Lord Jesus down from the cross? No. We are told in the words of Paul in Acts chapter 13, and when
Not until and when they had fulfilled all that was written of him. They, not the soldiers. Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea took him down from the cross. Not until all the scriptures were fulfilled. What a work, Nicodemus and Joseph did on this occasion. If you like, reverently, we can say it was a teamwork. Very much they needed each other. You know, if they hadn't been getting on with each other, it would have been very difficult. The atmosphere wouldn't have been so good.
But there's no doubt about it that Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea had a mutual affection and love for Christ. They were like-minded. And now, if not before, they were conspicuous in their honoring of Christ.
They did it together. Both men. And took the Lord Jesus down from the cross. Did Joseph of Arimathea or Nicodemus, we don't know, take off the crown of thorns that had been so cruelly pressed into the holy brow of our Lord Jesus Christ? Oh, I'm sure whichever one did it, they would have done so very, very reverently and very, very gently.
I am sure that after doing this, these men would never have been the same. It would live with them in memory afterwards. Surely it would have affected their future service and coloured it. It would have kept them very humble. To think that they could actually handle the body of the Lord Jesus and do what they did and perform this last ministry to him, I'm sure that Joseph of Arimathea in particular would never have performed a greater service than he did on this occasion. It was fleeting service. It was only for a little while.
But it was faithful service. And it was fulfilled service. And it was fearless service. How about our service for the Lord? Gently, they took him down, unfixed his hands and feet, took from his head the thorny crown, brought forth a winding sheet. And if it cost Joseph of Arimathea to do what he did for the Lord, what about Nicodemus, his companion? He brought a mixture, myrrh and aloes, about 100 pound weight.
My, that must have cost Nicodemus a very high, considerable sum.
But they took the clean linen cloth, Matthew says, the fine linen, Mark says, the linen, Luke says. The linen clothes, John says. Folded and wrapped the holy body of our Lord Jesus Christ between the body and the linen. Nicodemus would put the aloes and the myrrh. What a wonderful character Joseph is. But how much he needed the companionship in service on this occasion in John 19 of Nicodemus. May I say to you tonight, we need each other.
There are things that we can do for the Lord better together at times
than individually. There's need for us to live together and be together and be one minded together and in mutual love for Christ and honour him and to have courage.
If our exercise for service in the assembly is one sided and left to just a few and we're not prepared to be together, Things will never really work smoothly and properly for the glory of God. Never.
May I just say tonight, as we think of Joseph of Arimathea, by his actions, by his ministry on this occasion, what did he do? He set aside the Jewish law, for he touched a dead body. He upset the plans of the leaders who intended to bury the Lord Jesus with the wicked, the thieves. He overcame natural fears. And by what he did, he fulfilled the scriptures in Isaiah 53 as to the burial of the Lord Jesus Christ. What he did, God would have delighted in. What he did would never be forgotten in heaven. It was so important. Everything rested and depended upon this as far as the purpose of God was concerned. Will you understand tonight? It's really not much different in assembly life, is it? And this is the day of Christ's rejection. Let's realize so much depends upon what we can do for the Lord, even the little things.
And that we can do for him now, we can't do some future time perhaps. Some service the Lord requires from us. Some little thing we can do for him. Some little gift we can give to him. He only wants it for a little while. Please don't hold it back.
He is worthy of everything we can give him. What a wonderful book the Bible is. There was a Joseph associated with our Lord Jesus Christ at the beginning of his life. And there was a Joseph associated with the Lord Jesus Christ at the end of his life. One Joseph was appointed in the purpose of God to be the guardian of Christ's body in the virgin womb of Mary.
Another Joseph was also appointed by God to be the guardian of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ
in the virgin tomb. And both, whether the Joseph at the commencement of the Lord's life or the Joseph at the end of the Lord's life, were just men. May the Lord richly bless to us and sanctify to us this meditation tonight on Joseph of Arimathea, portrayed in Matthew, Mark, Luke and John. The cost of service, the courage of service, the character of service, and the companionship of service.